Today's Bible reading is Matthew 6, 5 to 15. If you want to open your Bibles and read with me. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of God.
Well, this is the last week of our prayer series, and I've really enjoyed the prayer series and the prayer course. I'm sure many of you have as well. Probably the best feedback I got about our prayer series was someone said to me, they said, I've been in church for 20 years, but I feel like no one has ever taught me the basics about prayer, and now I'm learning the basics about prayer. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? We want people to know the basics about prayer. The basics are so important. If you don't get the basics, then that can lead to problems later. I've had the privilege of teaching two children to drive, one of them all the way to having his P's. Actually, Joe did most of the work, I have to admit. Yep, there we go, got that nod. We've started teaching our second child to drive, our daughter Layla over there. Layla, give us a wave. Hey, Layla. And I actually had the privilege of taking her on her first lesson. Joe had taken Elijah on his first lesson. I took Layla on hers. And we drove down to the end of the quarter sessions there. There's a bit of a loop. I thought that might be a safe place to start. And I parked, and then we swapped drivers. And she was sitting in the driver's seat. I was in the passenger seat. And I was ready to put it into drive. I was literally about to go, all right, this is how you put it into drive. And then this thought just came to me to ask, hey, Layla, before I put it in drive, could I just double check that you know where the brake pedal is? And she said, yeah, I know where it is. It's this one. Vroom. At which point I realized, had I have put that into drive, we would have flown headfirst into the car in front of us. And she would have been trying to stop the car by putting her foot down heavier on that accelerator. But sometimes I think some people do the same thing with prayer. They don't learn the basics. And then so they go gung-ho with some kind of prayer, thinking it's going to change everything in their life, and then it doesn't. It doesn't work. And they crash. And then they burn. And they don't get behind the wheel again. Is that you? I hope not. I hope you've been with us, journeying with us, learning the basics of prayer. We've gone through the Lord's Prayer in a couple of different ways. We've looked at petition, asking God for things. We looked at intercession, praying for others. We've looked at adoration, worshiping God, praising Him. We've looked at contemplation, listening, spiritual warfare. We've tried to go through the basics. And if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons or jump online and grab that prayer course that we've been working through in our life groups at prayercourse.org. It's been an amazing time for us to grow in understanding the basics of prayer because we want everyone to know how to pray. Across our church, there might be 600 or 700 people in our church. We want all of them, hundreds of people, to know how to pray and to have grown in prayer over this time. That's been the heart and passion of our church over the last 8 weeks. Today, I'm actually going to be preaching a very short message. Someone gave me 10 minutes. That meant I took 15, and it's actually been more like 18. So it's still short, but what we're going to do is I'm going to preach a message just taking you through the Lord's Prayer as a kind of summary of where we've been and what we've done. And then you might have noticed there are prayer stations set up around the room. And what I'm going to do is I'll explain them and lead you into a time of open, walking around and praying and engaging in prayer on your own. But what I want to do is I want to go through the Lord's Prayer with you. And before we do that, let me just pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us when we open your word. We pray now, speak to each heart of ours, each one of us, that we might learn from you, Lord Jesus, how to pray. Amen. I want to remind you, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. Lord, teach us to feed the 5,000 with a couple of loaves of fish, loaves of bread and fish. They just said, Lord, teach us to pray. There was obviously something compelling about Jesus' prayer life. That was the thing that you looked at Jesus and you said, wow, that's this thing that you can do that I wish I could do. It was him praying. And so we, through the disciples, we sort of join them as we read the pages of Scripture. We look upon Jesus through their lens and we ask the same thing. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. And we hear his words. He says this, this then is how you should pray. And this is Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. And what I want to do is go through it with you. Notice the first word is our, our. Often when you're praying, it feels like it's just between you and God. But Jesus' fundamental prayer is a corporate prayer. And what I think that means is when you're praying in your own personal relationship with God, which is a beautiful and a special thing, and Jesus does teach us to go into our room and close the door and have that personal, private relationship with God, that's a beautiful thing. But when you're doing that, it's a reminder that you're not alone, that we're actually praying alongside you. We, the people of your church, are also praying that same day in our own way. And our prayers are rising up to God together. There's a beautiful image in the book of Revelation of prayers being like the incense rising up before the throne of God. This incense that's rising up as a sweet smell before God's throne, and that's the prayers of the saints. And I just want to encourage you to think about that for a minute. It's like your prayer is one particle of smoke rising up. And my prayer is a particle of smoke, of this beautiful, sweet-smelling incense. And the prayers of our church are like a few different particles of smoke rising up in this incense, but then other churches as well, and the saints, the Christians throughout history and throughout the world, that all of that together rises up, circling each other, intertwined, lifting itself up before God, and it is a sweet smell before him. We pray together, ultimately. Ultimately, our prayers rise up to God together. When you pray, you're praying alongside others, and you're praying to a father, to a father. J.I. Packer, an amazing theologian, says this, adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. Adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. His quote goes on, the traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God, the Father, is greater. I love that. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. That's forgiveness of sins. That's wonderful. But there's something better than forgiveness. It's not just that the judge forgives you and sends you on your way. In the gospel, God invites you in for supper and gives you a new name. You're not just forgiven, you're adopted into the family, adopted as a child of God. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father. There's a beautiful intimacy to that, a collective intimacy. We are all together approaching God as our Father. And yet the next few words indicate that there's also a distance. It's this paradox, the imminence and transcendence of God. God is both close to us and far from us. He is both our Father and he is in heaven. And that's this reminder that he's the creator of heaven and earth. He's far greater than us, far higher than us. His power and his perspective is unmatched. And so we're wrapped up into this wonder of the gospel. He is our Father and he is in heaven. And that's the place that we pray from. And the first request flows out of that. That is, may your name be treated as holy. Hallowed be your name. Hagiastito to onomasu. May your name be made holy. May it be holy in the sight of people. May it be holy and worshipped and glorified and honored and respected on the earth. It's like we're saying, God, I've come to know how wonderful your name is as our Father in heaven. I just want others to also come to know how wonderful your name is. And so the next request flows out of that as well. Your kingdom come. and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we're introduced to another reality, the reality of God's kingdom. God is a king and he has a kingdom. But we're praying for his kingdom to come, which must mean that here what we're experiencing is an ulterior kingdom, a different kingdom, an alternative kingdom, a bad kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, because we want his kingdom to come. We want his kingdom to come and overpower the kingdom of this world, this kingdom that is opposed to God, this kingdom that we're living in. We don't want this kingdom to rule our hearts and our homes and our lives. We want his kingdom to rule our hearts and our homes and our lives. And so your will be done is that same idea. God, we don't want this stuff to keep happening. We want what you want to happen in our lives. I love the phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. It's like saying, God, if your kingdom truly came in Thornlea and in Normanhurst and in Cherrybrook and in Beecroft and in Hornsby and in Barara, if your kingdom truly came here, then this would be heaven. If your kingdom truly came in Thornlea would be heaven. There'd be no more sickness or death or crying or pain. There'd be full restoration, healing, heaven on earth. And we know that we're not going to experience that right now. But in the ministry of Jesus, we see glimpses of it. As Jesus heals the sick, as he casts out demons, as he teaches, as he preaches good news to the poor, we see heaven breaking in. It's like prayer is this conduit to another reality, the reality of God's kingdom where God's will is done. And we're saying we want that to come down. And we know it won't come down fully until Jesus returns, but we want it to come down in part through our prayers. And friends, that is the power of prayer. I said at the start of this series, I wouldn't be teaching you how to pray if I didn't believe that God answered prayer. I can't think of anything more cruel than teaching people to pray if God doesn't answer prayer. The whole point of this series is to teach people to pray because God does answer prayer. And we do see glimpses of his heavenly kingdom breaking in to earth as we come to him in prayer. We finally come to this request for our provision, our daily bread. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. I love how that is included in the prayer, but I love how it's not primary. It's not the first thing we go to. For us, naturally, we might be worrying about different things that we have in our lives. God, am I going to have enough today? And so we do want to pray about that, but it's not the priority. We want to start with who God is and what he's like and his will for our world. As we teach people to pray for provision, we encourage them to know God as their provider. I believe that everybody, every Christian needs to get a revelation of God as your provider. And usually you'll get that revelation when you're experiencing lack in your life. When everything's going well, you don't have a need for God as provider. At least you don't feel the need. You do have a need, you don't feel it. But when you're experiencing a lack in your life, that's when you really come to an awareness of your need for God to provide for you. And it could be a lack of anything. It could be a lack in relationships. It could be a lack of finances. It could be a lack or a struggle in your health. It could be a lack of spiritual insight and a lack in your relationship with him. And so when we're praying for God to give us his daily bread, we're asking him to provide for all of our needs. Sometimes people say to me, oh, Tim, you can't teach people that God is their provider. What about all those poor people in poor countries who are hungry and are experiencing poverty? What would you say to them about God being a provider? I say, have you ever met Christians from poor countries? They're the ones who testify to the provision of God far more than we do in the West, because they've experienced it miraculously again and again. One of our friends, close friends from Uzbekistan, woke up one morning and knew she had nothing to feed her two children. They'd woken up and they were playing on the floor in her village hut. And she knew, she took comfort from the fact that they don't yet know that mummy has nothing to feed them today. And so she prayed. She was a Christian. She prayed, God, would you provide for me today? And then that day, around lunchtime, there was a knock at the door. And she opened the door and her neighbor was standing there. Now, this guy was normally a very mean and nasty neighbor who never liked them and never gave them anything in their lives. And he's standing there with a pot of soup. And she says, what brings you here? And he said, we've had some leftover soup, and I just wanted to see maybe if you'd like the soup. Of course, she took the soup and then went to her children, put it on the stove and said, God has provided us with a meal today. I want you to experience God as your provider. And the way you learn that lesson, maybe it's right now in your life, it's when you have a great lack of some kind. And then you'd press into the reality that God is your provider. It's about remaining in that place of trust. That's why it says today, give us today our daily bread. This is a daily prayer we pray. We pray it every day. I mean, my encouragement to you is to experience that practice of praying the Lord's Prayer every day. It's a great prayer to pray every day. Give us today our daily bread. And that leads us into the next point. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus teaches us to ask God daily for forgiveness. And he uses this powerful illustration of debt. I love that he uses the illustration of debt. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In Luke, it talks about sin. Here it says debt. It's saying debt is a kind of an illustration for sin. They sort of mean the same thing. If you sinned against me, you did something wrong, morally wrong against me, then you would owe me something. And so you would kind of owe me to sort of make it right when you sinned against me. It's very similar to if I'd lent you $100 and then you'd kind of owe me that $100 and it was your responsibility to make it right by paying me back that $100. And yet, that whole time, whether you've sinned against me or whether you've borrowed $100, I reserve the right to cancel your debt. That's the power of the creditor. The creditor can at any point decide to cancel the debt. You don't need the debtor to be present. You don't even need to tell them in that moment. You can just decide, I have cancelled that debt, and they might not even be aware of it. It's within your rights and your power, if someone has sinned against you, to forgive them. If someone owes you something, to cancel the debt. And Jesus teaches us to ask the Father for that. God, would you cancel our debts? Would you forgive us our sins? And also, as you do that, we are daily forgiving those who have sinned against us. Imagine living that out. A life free from guilt, because daily you're experiencing God's forgiveness of your sin. A life free from guilt and a life free from grudges, because daily you're forgiving others. What a powerful spiritual freedom the Lord's Prayer invites us into. And finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're reminded again of spiritual warfare, that there's a battle going on between this clash of kingdoms. And here, the prayer involves the idea of temptation and the idea of the evil one, the devil, whose job obviously then is temptation. We're reminded of the Garden of Eden, of the serpent luring Eve and Adam to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this forbidden fruit. And our prayer is not just, Lord, when I am tempted, help me to say no. That would be a good prayer. But it's actually a step further removed from sin than that. It's, God, I don't want to even get near temptation. It's a particularly Christian prayer. It's saying, God, I so don't want to sin that I pray that you would keep me away from even the chance of sinning. I want to not be led into temptation. Would you deliver me from the evil one? And so, friends, this prayer covers it all. Adoration, praising God. Petition, asking for our needs. Intercession, praying for others. Contemplation, focusing our hearts on who our God is. Listening, seeking his daily bread. Spiritual warfare, resisting temptation and evil. There's so much beauty and truth in the reality of this foundational prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. And so as we close this segment, what I'd love to do is invite you to pray it with me. We'll just be saying the words as they are on the screen here from Matthew. Would you pray with me together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do now is break up into prayer zones. You've probably noticed looking around the room, there's petition over here, which is the prayer wall. There's a table of contemplation over there, some breath prayers. There's a whole lot of armor up the back, courtesy of Bob Tai. Thank you, Bob, which you can reflect on. You can try it on as a prayerful gesture as you reflect on the armor of God. We've got some little warfare prayers up the back there as well. There's intercession, praying for our mission partners and kids games up the back that way. We've got adoration up there, listening over there, and unanswered prayer here. You're welcome to stay in your seat. There'll also be something on the screen for you to reflect on. And my encouragement to you is to realize you're not going to be able to meaningfully cover all of the prayer stations in the 15 minutes that I give you. But you're welcome to grab resources from all of them if you'd like to. So this is some free time to go away and pray. And in 15 minutes' time, I'll close the service. So may God bless you as you engage with Him now in prayer. Thank you.